This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. Great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Beautiful weather today. A high temperature in the upper 70s, low 80s. It's 78 degrees with sunshine now at O'Hare.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Euro Partners. Let's kick things off with a check of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris looking quite good there as well. The Dow up 135 points. NASDAQ higher by 6, S&P advancing 10, so we are on records watch again today. We're looking at fresh highs for all three of those averages. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also higher by 0.75%. Solid earnings results are propelling the gains. McDonald's posted an eighth straight quarter of rising sales, and that has its stock up more than 4%. Caterpillar is higher by more than 5% after posting its results. Now, at the other end of the average, 3M missed expectations for the quarter, and its shares are down almost 5%. Consumer confidence improved unexpectedly this month. According to the Conference Board, consumers setting aside concerns about a lack of fiscal stimulus, perhaps we're feeling upbeat about the growing value of our homes across the country. Houses were priced about 5.5% higher in Chicago, 3.3% higher.
Apparently, you're allergic to us. We'll get back to Elisa later in the show. What's coming up on today's Noon Business Hour?
Happens to everyone. How is the economy looking months into the Trump administration? We'll discuss. And as Elisa mentioned, McDonald's stock is at an all-time high. What's the company been doing right?
Those of you who have the Roomba or are thinking about getting it, what would you think if it sent information about your home, even your floor plan, to the likes of Amazon or Google? Travel Tuesday, we'll give you some tips to make the most of your summer travel season. And fewer Americans are filing lawsuits. What kind of an impact is that having on businesses?
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The monthly report on home prices out today. The tally of the country's gross domestic product is due later this week, and we have some other indicators. We're talking with Peter Morici, who is professor at the Robert H. Smith School of Business at the University of Maryland and former chief economist at U.S. International Trade Commission in Maryland. Peter, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. It's months into a new administration. How is the Trump economy doing?
Well, the Trump economy is doing about as well as the Obama economy did. We expect GDP to come in at about 2.6% on Friday. And given that we had a soft first quarter, you know, we're on track to grow at a little bit more than 2%. But until we get, you know, health care reform, a tax cut, things like that, we shouldn't expect a sizable change. He has made a little bit of progress on regulatory reform, but it's going to be tough to do that without some help from Congress.
And we're getting a new indicator on consumer confidence. It rose in July, and it's at a 16-year high.
Well, look at the stock market. See, one of the things is that American companies earn more than half their profits abroad, and their profitability is improving very nicely. I'm starting to wonder whether there's something wrong with the productivity statistics that say our productivity growth is lagging so much, because these guys seem to be able to find ways to make money. And even making money is not enough. I mean, look at the poor CEO of Ford gets fired after two years of record profits. I mean, it's amazing. But, I mean, people are making money, and so the market's strong. And that has something to do with consumer confidence. I mean, there's an effect.
Peter, a moment ago you touched on growth, that it's likely to come in maybe in the low twos. Where does it need to be for us to confidently say we're experiencing a good level of growth?
3% plus.
And what does it take to get there? Is it something in Congress? Is it kind of a combination of things?
I think that we need three things, and they're all related. I mean, we need to get a new health care bill. The health care bill, the law we have right now, doesn't work. But we really need corporate tax reform. We need regulatory reform. And we could do, in order to get to corporate tax reform, we're going to do something about the tax rates paid by small businesses through the personal income tax. And in order to finance that, we're going to have something done about entitlements. So it's tax reform, entitlements, and regulation. Basically, the Trump agenda. Now, or the Trump House of Representatives agenda. Mr. Trump is kind of wishy-washy on entitlements. That's part of the problem. You know, if we get that, then we'll grow. If not, it's going to be like Chicago.
Kind of sounds like it's pretty much all up to Congress if they want to see this happen.
It's up to three or four Republican senators to get on the train and stop behaving like Democrats. Mikulski, Caputo, and Collins. I mean, other people jump on and say, well, they don't like the health care bill, but if they were voting for it, the others would have to get on. It seems like they're only Republicans when it doesn't matter.
You mentioned Chicago. Chicago and the state of Illinois having problems with budgets and just, you know, expenses.
Well, you have constitutional problems that are terrible. I mean, you can't do anything about pensions. You've got a tie-up between the governor and the legislature. I mean, basically, Chicago is being held hostage by a liberal mayor and its unions. And until that changes, it's going to be very, very difficult for Illinois to go anyplace.
Peter Morici, always good to have you on the show. Appreciate it. Peter is a professor in the Robert H. Smith School of Business at the University of Maryland. You can find him on Twitter at PMorici1. Coming up, a surprising quarter sends McDonald's stock to a new high.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Shares of McDonald's have hit an all-time high, up more than 4% throughout the day, thanks to a better-than-expected quarterly report. Let's spotlight the Oak Brook-based fast food giant, R.J. Hotovy, joining us, consumer equity strategist at Morningstar here in Chicago. R.J., let's begin by giving us the nuts and bolts of some of the good news for McDonald's in this report.
Yeah, I think really investors are squarely focused on the top-line growth here. And not just the U.S., where we did see strong results, almost 4% comps, healthy traffic growth on that. But it's really the international markets that caught our eye, between 6 and 13% same-store sales in most of these markets. And what the takeaway for investors here is that a lot of the things that they're trying to roll out in the U.S., whether it be more modern, technologically enhanced locations, delivery, or mobile order and pay, a lot of these markets already have these initiatives in place, so it gives a pretty strong signal that we might be seeing positive results in the U.S. for some time to come.
And what's behind it? What are they doing? What are the changes that are being made? Because this is pretty striking.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it really is aligning the business with what consumers are looking for in today's restaurant market. It's not just enough to have a value proposition, but you have to have the ability to order how you want, whether it be in-restaurant, kiosk, or beforehand. Be able to pick it up conveniently. The company talked about curbside pickup being a nice way to free up capacity within the restaurants. Delivery, it sounds like they're having pretty good traction there. And that's getting them into other parts of the day that they've lost some ground on. So they're seeing 60% of orders come in at the evening or nighttime day part. On top of that, mobile order, I think that really is the thing that a lot of consumers are looking for in this day and age, being able to place orders how they want. So a lot of things to like and across the board.
I'm curious. Do some of the initiatives that have brought them this really great report, were they initiated by the former CEO who spent a relatively short time in his job?
Yeah, I think that some of them were under Don Thompson. I think at least they were started, but I think that they certainly accelerated. And I think that one of the hallmarks that we've seen under Steve Easterbrook is a more cohesive unit where sharing of best ideas are implemented much quicker than they were. I thought there was a lot of great ideas under the prior management team, but certainly we've seen an acceleration of a lot of these initiatives, and I think that we're seeing them pay off and the results that we're seeing out of McDonald's right now. So, and it bodes well for the implementation of some of these that are accelerated in the back half of the year.
Who is McDonald's biggest competitor?
That's a good question. I think you look at the traditional QSR players, such as the Burger King, Jack in the Box, Wendy's, I think those would be there. But I think as they move into becoming a more technologically advanced restaurant chain, they start looking at some of the fast casual players, the Paneras, the Chipotles of the world. So I think that as they move into some of these new initiatives, their target audience and their competitive set is certainly getting wider.
RJ, what kind of balance does McDonald's have to strike between making changes to, especially with the menu, just to be competitive to current tastes, while also not wanting to lose the customers that have been there for so long?
Yeah, it is something that they have to balance. You have to be mindful of what existing customers have. And I think what they've done, you know, is they have kept that consumer in mind. They've taken a number of things off the menu, but in order to simplify things, but also allow for a level of customization. So they're being mindful. And I think that what you're seeing, too, is they've been very focused on having a value proposition, having a value offering, but then slowly layering in more of a premium offering as well. One of the things we talked about this quarter that drove results in the U.S. was the launch of the Signature Crafted line, which is their premium burgers. That's something that was adapted from a few markets overseas. And I think they're striking a balance right now. I think that they want to be mindful of that core audience that's been loyal to them, but also at the same time regaining potentially customers who've gone on to other chains, as well as reaching out and converting new customers at the same time.
RJ, what's your recommendation on the stock?
We have a $150 fair value estimate. That was before today's results, so we're still digesting it. Right now, share strike is roughly fairly valued, but not a lot of downside catalysts over the next 12 to 18 months.
RJ, thanks for joining us today. RJ Hottovy is consumer equity strategist at Morningstar here in Chicago. Up next, we'll check the markets with Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. The latest business news from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow higher by 136 points, trading to a new record high if these gains stick. Same for the NASDAQ and S&P. The composite up 7, S&P higher by 10. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up 0.75%. Across the country, houses were priced about 5.5% higher in May than in May of last year, according to the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index. In Chicago, we're seeing a 3.3% year-over-year gain. We've got crude oil futures soaring up more than 3% and approaching $48 a barrel. For a check of the grain markets, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have much lower grain prices today on better, cooler weather and wetter weather. At the moment, December corn down 6 3/4 at 384.11 off their high. November beans are down 11 at 999, 35 off their high. And wheat for September down 11.5 at 477, 18 off their high. Lower prices across the board on more moisture and cooler weather. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are on the rise today. We'll see what's lifting the markets.
Tech company iRobot wants to sell data on your home to Amazon, Apple, or Facebook.
It's Travel Tuesday. Tips to make your next flight as enjoyable as possible.
Fewer lawsuits are being filed in the U.S. that can have an effect on consumers.
Three suspects are in custody for an armed robbery spree that started in the far west suburbs and continued toward Chicago.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 132 points, the NASDAQ gaining about 8, S&P 500 up by 10.
Sunshine in Chicago throughout the day. A beautiful day with low humidity, high of 81 degrees. Right now, 76 at O'Hare. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, this caught our attention this morning, this story. The maker of the self-propelled cleaning device Roomba wants to use data gathered by the machine and sell it to other companies. Let's talk about the reported plan by iRobot with Jennifer Jolly, USA Today Tech Life columnist, founder and editor-in-chief of techish.com in San Francisco. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Jennifer. What is this deal?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. Basically, that little robotic vacuum, the Roomba, that's, helped me check a to-do off my chore list week in and week out for the last several years, they are charting a future that might lie more in collecting data than dirt. So what they mean by this, and this was something that Reuters first pointed out, is that there's an entire ecosystem of data that little robot is collecting as it runs around your house using spatial mapping to dodge furniture and pets and corners and walls. And with that ecosystem of information, the smart home can then be exploited more. So they could send that information off to, say, Amazon with the Echo, and all of a sudden you could start hearing commercials for furniture if you have a large room without a lot of furniture in it, things like that.
So this would you would have to ask the homeowner if he or she would allow that kind of invasion into your property.
You do, but as with many of these companies right now, that's in really kind of spine type, in an app somewhere. You might read it, you might see it, as one of the Roomba competitors pointed out in an interview with me this morning. It's written in dense legalese. The folks over at EcoVax are saying that, you know, this kind of move is unethical, potentially illegal, and just downright wrong.
Where it would, you'd almost have to give consumers some sort of an opt-out or something.
Right, and they do. There is an opt-out, but it's really tough to find. It's like with many of those, you know, legal jargon things. You might check this box, you might not. Roomba is saying that they will always give customers a way to opt out, but this is a new foray into this whole world of collecting information in the smart home that, you know, we're just starting to really figure out.
I'm wondering how many consumers even realize that the robot is collecting that kind of information and not just using sensors to sort of make its way around your house.
Very few realize that they're doing that and where that information is living, how it's being stored on the cloud. I mean, if Roomba plans to sell this, they need to anonymize it. They need to make it, you know, take your name and your address off. Because if this data is out there in the world, if it's out there in the cloud, just imagine if a hacker got a hold of it. Just imagine if some sort of nefarious type got a hold of it. And I don't want to be alarmist, and many of us, you know this is the direction we're heading. You know, a lot of people, given the choice between convenience and privacy, choose convenience. But it is something that we need to be thinking about and definitely be aware of.
Yeah, don't want the robot figuring out how dirty my house is and letting the world know. You know, I want to keep that quiet. Jennifer, thanks. Always enjoy you being on the show. Jennifer Jolly, USA Today Tech Life columnist based in San Francisco, founder and editor-in-chief of techish.com.
And now we are joining Gary Kaltbaum, who's president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor, to talk about the earnings season and other stock and economic-related stories. Gary, what are you thinking of the earnings season so far?
Well, it's just starting up. There's a lot more to go. And for every good, there's bad. Domino's Pizza's down 20 today. Google's down 30. 3M is down a big, juicy $10 in the Dow. But on the other end, good stuff out of Caterpillar. McDonald's, I don't think the numbers were great, but a great reaction to it. But the market overall acts fine. I call it Teflon. And something else is now happening now, for you, and your listeners should listen up. Commodities are now starting to really shape up and start to break out. I always watch copper. It is breaking out of a yearly trading range. So all the copper, aluminum, steel, all those things are showing up on my screen now, and I think we're going to get a little move in the commodities here, and that includes probably oils, and that's going to help the overall market also.
What are you expecting to see from Amazon later this week?
I have no clue about the reaction because the stock's already had a good move, but the numbers will be, they'll beat the number. The guidance is not that great for the quarter, but their sales growth is phenomenal, and all I can tell you is every time they say something about an industry, the industry stocks get hit, and it happened with Home Depot and Lowe's this week, so I don't know who's next.
You say that you didn't think that the McDonald's news was all that impressive. What do you make of the McDonald's news?
Well, look, I'm always looking for growing sales, and the last four quarters of McDonald's, sales down 3, down 5, down 4, down 3, but their earnings are up in the teens. So a market's always going to buy into earnings, so they're doing more with what they have. But eventually, if sales don't grow, it's going to hit a wall. But that stock is acting great here and definitely looks higher right now. So the market is liking whatever they're reporting.
Well, we're seeing an interesting, it would be Oak Street news here in Chicago today. Michael Kors is going to buy Jimmy Choo, the shoemaker, for a $1.4 billion deal. What's going on here?
Well, they need to do something. Michael Kors sales were down 11% year over year in the last quarter, so they're trying to get into other avenues. Jimmy Choo is a big-time high-end shoe company. Believe me, I know because I know my wife, and I gather that helps a little, but I got news for you. The stock is down on the news. Most apparel stocks and a lot of retailers are just not acting well here, so I think it just adds to their little lineup. I don't think it's the biggest of deal, though.
Lots of interesting stuff going on. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate you being here. We'll have you on as earnings season continues. Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management. Website, GaryK.com. Ahead, Travel Tuesday, making the most of your next airline experience.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday. Passengers often complain about the hassles of air travel, citing delays, slow security, and other factors. There are some steps you can take to help things go as smoothly as possible. We welcome George Hobica, airline industry expert, founder of AirfareWatchdog.com, based in L.A. George, one of the things on the list that we got that it was just so fascinating to me is you can actually choose a particular type of luggage that will make it more likely that it will be treated well by the people who are putting it on the plane.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of our staff members, actually two of our staff members at Airfare Watchdog, were former airline baggage handlers, and they told me this tip. So this is inside information. A four-wheel suitcase, when it's loaded onto a smaller plane like a 737, will be rolled down to the back of the belly of the hold, whereas they actually toss suitcases that don't wheel on their own. So you buy a four-wheel suitcase, one of those spinner suitcases, and it's less likely to be thrown down the belly of the plane.
So basically, if you make it easier for the person who's handling the luggage, they're likelier to treat it better.
Exactly, yeah. So I only have four-wheel bags, you know, with the spinners that go around and around.
Well, let's talk about the people who get airsick. Where is the best place to sit? I've never heard of any of this information.
Well, it's kind of like riding on a seesaw. If you're at either end of the seesaw, you are going to have more motion. If you're at the fulcrum, you're not going to move at all. So over the wing is basically the most stable part of the airplane that's not going to have as much motion. The people in the front, the people in the back get tossed around a bit more. And also, if you have a window seat, and you put the eye shade up, and you look out at the horizon, you're less likely to get airsick.
Well, and we're also, when we talk about cabin pressurization, we're looking at the Boeing 787 Dreamliner and the Airbus A350.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize this, but if you've ever flown on a long flight, I know it happens to me. After a while, even on a six-hour flight, I will start getting a little short of breath. I'll be unable to take a really deep breath, and that's because you are at altitude in that plane. Of course, you're flying at 40,000 feet, but the cabin on most planes is pressurized at about 8,000 feet. So these newer planes are pressurized at 6,000 feet, and that 2,000-foot difference does make a difference to help you breathe better and sleep better if it's a longer flight.
If you're a member of AARP, there's a discount. And do I understand this correctly? You don't have to be a senior to be a member of AARP?
Well, I hate to admit it, but I am a member of AARP. And I am eligible because I'm not retired, but you don't have to be retired. And they don't check your age. You can just sign up and pay your $10 or $15 yearly fee. And you get discounts on travel. For example, British Airways will give you up to $400 off of a business class fare, and I think it's $75 off of a economy class fare when you book through the AAP portal on British Airways.
Wow. Well, you've been very helpful today. Thanks for joining us, George. George Hobica is airline industry expert, founder of AirfareWatchdog.com in Los Angeles. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday, when we look at the effects of staying in a miserable job. Still to come, why Americans are filing fewer lawsuits.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Americans are filing fewer lawsuits. Let's take a look at the reasons why with Andrew Stoltman, a Chicago securities attorney at Stoltman Law Offices here in Chicago. Why are we filing fewer lawsuits, Andrew?
Boy, there are a whole bunch of reasons. First off, there's some state laws that restrict litigation. For example, 30-some states have capped the damages in medical malpractice cases. There's an increase in cost of lawsuits. Cars are getting a lot safer, so we're seeing less accidents. And really, I think a major reason is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has done a really effective PR job on discouraging people from filing cases, but more specifically, convincing people that there's a frivolous litigation problem. And they've been doing that now for about 30 years, and I think we've seen the impact of that in a dramatic decline in lawsuits filed.
How does this affect the economy of the legal sector?
Well, I think anytime you see a dramatic drop in lawsuits, you're going to see a whole bunch of unhappy lawyers. But in the same sense, the U.S. corporations would tell you this is a wonderful thing. If we're seeing less lawsuits against companies, they would tell you that's going to be less of a drag on their companies, less of a drag on earnings, and they would say that's a very, very good thing.
And I'm thinking about settlements, the lawsuits not being filed. Could this also mean a lot of people are just getting it taken care of before they get to that point?
Yeah, that's possible. I think one of the reasons we're seeing the big drop, too, is a lot of companies now force people into arbitration instead of the courthouse. And I also think companies do a pretty good job of settling these cases either in the arbitration forum or potentially on a pre-filing basis. So there are a lot of reasons for this drop, but net-net, I think it's a good thing for business. I think it might be a bad thing for the public.
And yeah, as far as the public goes, maybe it's better because products don't go up in price as much, but not so much if you've been wronged.
That's exactly it. And I think the courthouse doors are slowly being closed to many people who have suffered injuries. And that's not necessarily a good thing. There's no question there were some frivolous claims filed, but kind of a counterbalancing concern is whether the courthouse doors are being closed to people with real important, real meritorious injuries.
Andrew Stoltman, thanks for the insight. Andrew's a securities attorney here in Chicago at Stoltman Law Offices. We'll get a check of the markets from Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a look at the markets. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, we may have another round of record highs for the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P today. Right now, the blue chip's up 133 points, or 0.2%. NASDAQ gaining 13, S&P higher by 10. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also advancing, gaining almost 1%. Investors are hailing earnings news from the likes of McDonald's and DuPont. And though General Motors is warning its production and earnings will slip in the second half of the year, GM shares are headed higher right now by 0.5%. The carmaker has been slashing car production to allow demand to catch up with supply. A corporate takeover matches handbags with shoes. Michael Kors is buying Jimmy Choo for about $1.25 billion. It's part of a consolidation in high-end fashion. Coach agreed to buy Kate Spade earlier this year. Domino's Pizza plans to make it easier for you to place an order using Amazon's Echo or Google's Home devices. The pizza maker is also rolling out a GPS feature which will allow customers to track deliveries. Stock in Domino's, though, sharply lower after disappointing quarterly results. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.